Hey guys, welcome to Authentic Life Church. I am so grateful to the Lord that we can gather online during this season. During this pandemic, it has been difficult, but it's so good to know that we can remain united and remain one, and that we're still able to gather online to worship and to make much of Jesus together. Hey, if this is your first time with us, or maybe you're a returning guest, thank you for taking the time to join us this morning. And as you heard earlier, take the time to jump on our website and let us know you were here. Hit that connection button. You can hit the prayer request as well if there's a way that we can pray for you. But just let us know how we can connect with you and that you were here this morning. And also for everybody, online is your sermon notes. So if you want to pull those up or print those off while we are diving in this morning, that would be great. But thanks for joining us to everybody and our guests. We do look forward to meeting new faces in person when we are able to gather face-to-face again, and also whenever your family is comfortable and ready to do so. If you were able to listen in online, church, or maybe you watched the video afterwards, we were able to discuss the strategies and the plans, at least the first couple transitions when it comes to us opening up in person on Sundays. So we do have a plan. We do have a target date as to when we would like to see all of that happen, but we are also partnered with our school, and we love our school district, we love our school, and so pray for us and pray for the leaders of our district and our school as they prepare and plan and decide along with us. Our hope is able to be able to meet on the 31st on that Sunday, so that may or may not happen, and we will communicate very well and let you guys know that. But be prayerful, be gracious, and be patient as we walk through this and plan together. So as we dive in, as a church family, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians. And it's been it's been a great study full of great reminders, great truths. Maybe you're learning some good things. I am. And God used a man named Paul to write this letter to the church in a place called Ephesus. And also, this letter is just as much for us. Ephesians is, it's got a lot of subtopics, but it's broken into mainly two sections. And the first one really focuses on who we are in Christ. So chapters 1, 2, and 3 really focus on who we are in Christ and our identity. And it does something. It reminds us who we are without Jesus. We're lost. We're chained to our sins. We are spiritually dead and separated from God for eternity. But Jesus, because of His great love and His grace for us, He came and He died on the cross in your place and in my place. And on the third day, Jesus rose again. And He conquered sin and death and hell. He conquered Satan, and He made a way for us to be rescued eternally. And now what Jesus does is Jesus calls us, each and every one of us, to turn to Him. To turn from our sin, to turn from you or me being in charge, and to turn to Him and just let Him be Lord of our lives and believe in Him. Romans 10 really says it this way, that if we confess Jesus as Lord, and we believe that He died on the cross and that He rose again, all for our sins, that you will be saved. You'll be saved. And it's immediately that you'll be rescued from sin and hell. But Jesus doesn't just pull us out of that. He doesn't just pull us from sin and hell. He gives us a brand new identity. He makes you His, right? He gives you an eternal home in heaven with Him, and He brings you into His family. He gives you all that comes along with being His. And so if Jesus has saved you, you are His and you are the heirs of God. You're adopted into His family, and now you have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're part of His church. And that's just the first three chapters. It tells us who we are. And then Paul, what he does is he transitions into the last three, chapters 4, 5, and 6. And he tells us, based on who you are, this is how you live. Because you belong to Jesus, because you are His and He is yours, because you're part of the family of God, because you're part of His church, your walk and your life should reflect that. It should reflect that you follow Jesus. Your life, my life, should give evidence that we're part of His family and part of His church. And so Paul, in chapter 4, he begins by urging us and he pleads with us to walk worthy, walk in such a way that shows we belong to Jesus. And Paul begins to teach us what that walk looks like, what that life looks like. He begins to lay out for us the life that we should live as Jesus followers. And he begins by telling us about the family, right? He says, hey, when you are saved, you are part of the family. You're part of God's family. And he says, and as family, you must walk worthy together. God's design from the beginning was to bring you into a relationship with him and also with his family, the church. And we're to walk together, do life together. A few weeks ago, we saw Paul teach us how to love one another and how to be patient and how to really just to love one another well. And he pleads with us to remain united. God brought us together, and our responsibility is to fight for that unity. Not allow your pride or my pride or any attitude or any sin to get in the way of that. Not to allow Satan to get in the way of it, right? We've got to be aware that Satan wants to destroy anything that God has brought together and calls good, and we are to fight against that and stay united. We need to be one body, one church, walking together so that we can accomplish what God has called us to do. Last week we saw Paul zoom in a bit, right? We saw the importance of one united body as a whole, and Paul tells us, hey, be united. But part of being united, when we zoom in and look at each one of us must do our part, right? We are essential and must be involved with the body. When we look at our body, our human body, right? We've got different parts. We've got hands and fingers and ankles and feet and legs. And we've got external parts. We've got internal parts. They're all separate members of our body. But together, what do? They make one healthy body. And so we looked at us as the members of that body of Christ and how God has equipped us and gifted us. And that we're to use those gifts. Gifts like teaching and shepherding and serving and being hospitable and administration and having mercy and many others. We're to use those gifts that God gave us to serve and honor him and to serve the church and then also to be a part of his mission. And so in closing, last week we saw in verse 13, I'd said last week that, you know, we're going to transition from verse 13 to this week and talk more about that. And what we saw was this in verse 13, how God uses leaders in the church. And how all of us together are to use our gifts so that we can be equipped and grow. We talked about maturity. And so that leads us to this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Open up your tablets, your apps, whatever it is that you're going to do. But let's honor God and let's seek His Word together. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be in three verses, chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. And what we're going to see in God's Word is that it's going to continue to teach us and remind us how to walk worthy. And today, we're going to see specifically what it looks like in our walk to grow and to mature. So Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16. Let's read that together. The Bible says this, as a result, we are no longer to be tossed. Excuse me, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Church, let's pray together before we dive in. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for first loving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for dying and rising again for us. Thank you for leading us and being the example that we need, for teaching us. And so, God, we ask you now, teach us. Speak into our lives. Individually and as a church. God, we also thank you for those that are guests and that are listening online. God, if there's someone listening online that does not know Jesus, they'll say, you know, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know that he came and died for me. God, we pray, Lord, today that they would hear, that they would know that and hear that, God, that you love them and that you died on the cross for them, that you didn't stay dead, you rose again so that you could have a relationship with them. God, as followers of Jesus, teach us today. Help us be submissive. Help us hear and apply. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So church, what we saw last week was that we are to be united as a church, as believers. And we are to be equipped. We're to grow in our knowledge of God and to pursue maturity in Christ. And now in verse 14, Paul addresses that maturity. And he begins by saying, hey church, we are no longer to be children. He says that in verse 14 and 15. He says this, but we are to grow up in all aspects into Him. So no longer be children, but grow up, right? Mature. And in those two verses, Paul is contrasting between being children and growing up spiritually. You know, when we look at our lives, we come into this world. We come in as infants, as children, but then we don't stay there. We grow, we develop, we mature. There's that expectation, like it happens naturally, but then there's that expectation and that goal for us to grow and mature as people. When we were born, we need help 100% of the time, right? We can't do anything on our own. But as we grow a little, we begin to eat off of a spoon, right? And we begin to set our bottle aside and eventually use maybe what we call in our home a big boy or big girl cups, right? We begin to walk and talk. And along the way, we still need a lot of care and assistance, but we're maturing and developing and growing. And then we hit that point where we go to school and we begin to learn a little bit more and gain some more knowledge. We get to a point in our life where all the things that we used to like to do, right? They're not cool anymore, so we hit that point in our life. We each hit a point in our life. Every single one of us has hit an age or a point in our life where all of a sudden we know everything, right? And we know more than those that raised us. Are you with me? Maybe some of you guys' parents are dealing with that now. Just remember you did the same thing, right? We just kind of hit that point where we think we know everything. But here's the great thing, man. We just keep learning and we keep growing and we keep maturing. And then at points in our life, we begin to see others in our lives and we care for them and we help them. Those that are younger than us and less mature than us. Maybe it's a high schooler helping out an elementary student, or maybe it's a parent now raising a child or a grandparent helping their kids, you know. And so there's that point where we get to help other people grow and mature. We never, guys, we never in our life, in our human lives, we never get to a point where we know everything. We never get to a point where we do not need others, but we still grow and we mature. And Paul is telling us in three verses, in these three verses that we're looking at today, that we too, as we follow Jesus as a church and as individuals, we are to grow and mature. Jesus didn't save you to keep you where you were. There's that sanctification process where He wants us to learn and grow. And when we think about being born as humans, Jesus tells us in John 3 that when we come to know Christ, when we get saved, the Bible says that we are born again. We become new Christians and new followers of Jesus. And then we're surrounded by a church family, by a faith family. And this family is one that loves us and cares for us. And they help us as we grow and mature in our walk with Jesus. And eventually, we get to a point where we can actually help others grow and mature. Now, just like in our human life, right, we never get to a point where we know everything spiritually. We never get to a point where we do not need others in the church, but we grow and we mature. And so when we look at these three verses, what I would like for us to do today is see four traits of a spiritually mature follower of Jesus. So basically, what does it look like to grow or pursue maturity in Christ? The first one is this. On your notes, this will be your first note for this morning. Spiritual maturity is this. Spiritual maturity is pursuing Christ-likeness. Pursuing Christ-likeness. When we look back to verse 13 and then into verse 14, here's what we see. Paul writes this. He says, to a mature man, talking about that's where we want to be a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. When it speaks of Christ's fullness, this is a statement of completion or perfection. Here is what that means. Our goal as Christians, as we live each and every day, each and every moment, is to see Jesus as the standard. and then pursue that standard. It's not our political leaders that are our standard. It's not our favorite celebrity that's our standard. It's not us keeping up with the Joneses that is our standard. Jesus is the standard. The goal, church, the goal is for us to be like Jesus and live like Jesus and love like Jesus. And so Paul says in verse 14, he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children. Here's the thing. You cannot pursue the life that Jesus lived. You cannot follow his example. You cannot love and serve and care and teach and live like Jesus. You can't even pursue it if you remain as a baby Christian. Jesus tells us very clearly, follow me, he says. Imitate me, be with me, be my disciples, learn from me. He's telling us this, church. He's telling you, he's telling me, watch me, learn from me, do what I do. The goal is always to imitate and pursue Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves imitating someone else. But guys, the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus. Church, I think this is the first and foremost when it comes to growing spiritually, is pursue Christ's likeness. It's to imitate Jesus. We know Jesus, right? We come into a relationship with him when we're saved, and then we pursue him to imitate him. Too often, when we as Christ followers, when we as Christians, when we want to grow in our walk, we'll turn to a person or we'll turn to a book or a speaker. And we go to them for the answers. And there's not really anything wrong with going to someone else for help in that, as long as they too are pursuing Christ. I think we can all agree when we see Paul here. Paul's a godly man. He's a man worth following. But here, he doesn't say, hey guys, I have all the answers. Follow me alone. Listen to everything that I say because I said it. He actually says in Ephesians 5:1, he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Right? He's saying, I'm following Jesus, and as I follow Jesus, you follow me. And so if you're going to read a book or listen to a speaker, you've got to ask the question, are they pursuing Jesus? Are they growing in their walk with Jesus? The goal in spiritual maturity is not to be like someone else. It is ultimately to be like Jesus. And I think there should just be this longing within us to be able to live out his character qualities in our life. Number two, spiritual maturity is having doctrinal stability. Having doctrinal stability. Before we dive too deep into what all that means, we should answer the question, what is doctrine? We could spend a lot of time on that, but in short, here's what it is. Doctrine is truth. Doctrine is what unites us. Doctrine is one thing that unites us. Doctrine is what we believe. It is what the Word of God teaches us. It is what God tells us is true. And so we want to have stability in what we know and what we believe. When we look back to verse 13, it speaks of being united in our belief and growing in our knowledge of Jesus. And then in verse 14, it says, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Church, Paul is saying this, spiritual maturity, right, is studying the Word of God, knowing what the Bible says and knowing who Jesus is, knowing who God is, so that we are not led astray. Sometimes we get saved and we're like, okay, that's the smart person over there. That's the one with all the answers. No, God calls all of us to study and know and grow in knowledge. And here he's saying so that we're not led astray. He's saying to be mature, to grow, we must grow in our knowledge of biblical and godly truth. So first, what is spiritual maturity, right? First is we grow to be like Jesus. And we grow, we mature by being in the Word of God, by reading it, by learning and knowing. Jesus is the standard, and he and the Word of God is our source of truth. And notice what Paul says. This is important, church. Don't miss this. He says this, don't be tossed around by this wave or that wave. Don't get caught up in this lie or that lie. Don't be easily tricked by someone or led astray. I remember years ago when I was in Kansas City, I was pastoring at a church there, and there was a young mom in our church, and her daughter came to our church, and she came to know Christ. She was saved, and so now she's a new Christian, right? And not long after coming to know Jesus, she moved. Right, she moved locations, and it just really didn't make sense for her to be at our church anymore because it was just too long of a drive. And so she stayed in touch with us, and I'm so glad that she did, because here's one thing that happened in her life. When she got saved, we started discipling her and investing in her and teaching, right? And just encouraged her to grow in her walk with Christ. But when she moved, she met some people, and they invited her to join them on a Sunday. They invited her to their faith. And it was a faith that sounded a whole lot like Christianity. But in reality, what they invited her to, church, it just happens. It was just a false teaching. It was a false religion. And she began to be underneath that teaching. And the good thing was that she began to question what she was being taught. And so she writes down these questions, and she begins to reach out to us at her old church. And she began to ask us these questions, and we talked through it with her, and we opened up the Bible, and we were able to share with her what the Bible said. And we got her connected with a church in her area that we knew taught the Word of God. Guys, the Bible is telling us here there are a lot of lies out there. There are a lot of lists of misleading and false teaching. When we look at this, guys, the Bible is actually giving us a warning. When verse 14 says, "Don't remain children that are easily confused and tossed around by the waves and led astray," the Bible is reminding us children are more gullible and easily deceived. And false teachers, what do? They creep in and they try to teach and share things that just are not true. And I'm telling you guys, God must think that we need to hear this, right? Because in the New Testament, it is something that is repeated over and over and over again. Jesus in the Gospels during his life, he talks about false teaching. We see the warning here telling us about false teaching in Ephesians chapter 4, Acts chapter 20, Romans chapter 16, Galatians chapter 1, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 2nd Peter, right? I'm probably missing some, but there's just a lot of warning for us to know the Word of God and be aware of false teachers. The Bible warns us of our enemy. 1st Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, it says, "Be sober-minded, be alert, church, Christian." Why? Because your adversary, the enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Guys, Satan, his goal is to mislead you. It is to lie to you. It is to trick you. It is to keep you from walking with the Lord. And so Paul says, don't be like children because you have an enemy that wants to attack young Christians, immature Christians, with his tricks and his lies. Grow in your faith and in your knowledge so that you can stand firm in God's truth. Continue to learn and pursue. We need to be able to ask questions. Hey, what is this person or that person or what is this politician or that organization say, but what does God's Word say about this? And then there are others in the church that can come alongside. They come alongside you and they help you and learn and understand and grow in knowledge. Pastors in our church have a role in this to help shepherd and guide and protect and teach. But also the church is full of brothers and sisters in Christ, and each and every one of us play a role in this to grow and pursue Christ, to help others, to help each other grow and pursue Christ. And please know this, there are some amazing, godly Christian leaders and speakers and artists out there. But here's the reality, guys. Not every speaker or author or artist that uses the title Christian is pointing you to truth. When you are in the Word of God, when you're learning, when you're growing, you begin to be able to discern what is true and what's not. And I think this is important to remember as well. Please hear this. Paul is writing to Christians in the context of being a part of the body of Christ, the church. That is his design, to to be a part of the local church, actively serving and growing and encouraging one another. And having others that can help you in your walk and your growth. Jesus knows that we need each other. I need you. You guys need me. We need each other. Jesus knows that, and that's His design. And here's another lie that Satan tries to sneak into our lives, that being a part of the local church isn't really that important. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, that's a lie from hell. That's a lie from Satan himself. It is important. Jesus is building His church, and He has brought us into the family of God. And we can't hear this enough, that it's important to be a part of the church body. Satan is prowling around lying and deceiving. And he wants us to believe that it's not important to be together. I read just a really easy quote. I don't know who originally made this statement or this quote, but it's so true. And it says this: an isolated Christian is in a dangerous position. Let me say that again. An isolated Christian is in a dangerous position. Satan is prowling around, seeking who he may devour. Satan knows that we are meant to do life together, and support and encourage and love one another, and to help each other grow and be accountable to one another. And one of Satan's tricks is to make you think that God doesn't know what he's talking about, right? Satan wants you to think that you don't need to be with God's people, that you don't need to worship together, that you can do this on your own, maybe even showing up every now and then, right? But that's a lie from Satan, and it's a dangerous one that too many believe. That's one reason why being united and serving together is so vital. Church, we enter the Christian life as infants, as babies, but we're to grow and mature. We're to be in the Word of God, hearing His truth, learning it, believing it, following it, knowing it, and applying it to our lives. And we need to allow other godly people that are pursuing Jesus to teach and help us. Here's the thing, if you're more mature, keep pursuing growth. Keep growing, keep pursuing Christ, but find someone that is younger in the faith than you and help them and encourage them and disciple them. If you need that help, if you're saying, hey, I'm younger in the faith, or I'm less mature in the faith, reach out, have a mentor, have someone in your life that can pour into you. But in each of our lives, we must pursue biblical truth and knowledge, because here's a reality. What you believe matters. What you believe in life determines how you live your life. And so what you know and believe about God, it determines everything about how you live. So spiritual maturity is pursuing Christ-likeness, which is really growing to be like Jesus. He is our aim. He is our target. Number two is having doctrinal stability. Being in the Word, being under godly teaching, learning and understanding and believing and knowing, so that you're not tossed around here and there by this lie or that wave. And then number three is this: spiritual maturity is speaking and receiving truth in love. Spiritual maturity is speaking and receiving truth in love. Look at what Paul writes. Back to 14, he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children. Right? We need to grow. That is tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and the deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love. Church, being a part of the body, having that unity, serving and growing together, pursuing Jesus and growing in knowledge together, all of that allows us to do this. It allows us to being able to speak truth in love to and with one another. When we look at this verse, the word in Greek is actually translated as truthing in love. Yeah, I said that right. Truthing in love. And I know that we've got some teachers in our church and they're cringing right now, right? Maybe some English majors that are cringing, but that's what it means to be truthing in love. Now, that's not a way that we speak, but it helps us see the intent. Be truthful in all you do. Be truthful in your relationship with everyone together, but it must be done in love. Truthing in love. You cannot do the truth speaking without loving. They go together. The Bible has already instructed us back in verses 2 and 3 that we need to be humble with each other, Right? If we're going to go and love one another, right, as we're called to be, man, we need to be humble, have humility with one another. And that leads us to have gentleness and patience. And really, the Bible says that we're to be stretched out in love for one another. And then it says that we're to be united. And so all of that really helps us with this. When truth needs to be spoken, that's our lens. Right? To come to your brother or sister in Christ in all humility, in patience, in gentleness, and with as much love as the Lord will give you. And when that is done, when we're able to do that, it helps maintain the unity. But we must be open when it is necessary to speak truth and to receive truth in love. Here's what Paul is saying. If you truly want to grow in your walk with Christ, if you truly want to pursue godly maturity, then allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to speak truth into your life in love. This is the family that God has brought you to be a part of. This is fellow Jesus followers that God has united with this, right? This is others that you are serving and growing and doing life with. Let them speak into your life that truth in love. There's a Bible commentator, Warren Wiersbe. He says this. He says, truth without love is brutality. And love without truth is hypocrisy. For one of us to go and speak truth, even biblical truth, into someone's life without loving them, Warren is saying this, and this is true. It's brutal, it's not kind, and it's not loving. It's brutal. Truth without love is brutality. And love without truth is hypocrisy. You try to speak truth into someone's life, even biblical truth, without love, I'll tell you, it will not be received well. But to have love, to love someone, but not be willing to speak truth, Warren says that's hypocrisy. It's true, because to love is to want what is best and right for one another. When I see my kiddos doing something that I know is not safe or not right, I stop them or I tell them. When I see them doing something that is sinful, we sit down and we talk about it and I tell them and I help them learn. Right? I do that not because I want to ruin their day, right? Because I love them. To not share truth with someone that we love is to not love them. And it makes it difficult because we live in a world where this is not always welcomed or received well. And I'll be honest with you. If we're honest with each other, it isn't always lived out well. Before you go and speak truth to someone, love them. You try to do it in the other order, or without love, you end up hurting your brother or sister. Love them and then speak truth. And people, sometimes they don't want to speak truth. You know, they'll say, hey, I don't want to go and share that truth to a brother or sister in Christ because I don't want to get accused of judging. And let me say this, it may not be your place to place judgment on them, but God says it is your place to love them. Let me say that again. It may not be your place to place judgment on them, but God tells you and tells us it is your place to love them. So speak truth in love. You do both, not one without the other. And then this, I think we've all done this. I think we are often not receptive when we're on the other end, right? When we're the one that needs truth spoken into our life, we're not receptive of people speaking truth into our life because we don't want to hear it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want it exposed, right? Or we don't want to change. But here's what Paul is saying. It is necessary. Speaking truth in love, receiving truth in love is necessary to grow. When we think about sharing the gospel, when we think about us as believers going out and sharing Jesus, make sure we apply this as well. You want to share the truth with them of Jesus Christ, but do it out of love. It must be done in love. Part of spiritual maturity is speaking and receiving truth in love. And so to recap the first three, spiritual maturity is pursuing Christ-likeness, having doctrinal stability, speaking and receiving truth in love. And then we come to verse 15 and 16 where Paul writes this: we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we see this here again. Before we go on to number four, we see this again, that we are to grow up and pursue maturity in all aspects in Jesus. Jesus is the standard, and He is also truth. And so part of pursuing Jesus is to pursue and follow Him and His Word and His will. He's Lord of our lives, right? He leads us in all areas of our lives. So I think this is an important note. Jesus isn't asking this of us. He's not just asking of us on Sundays or during Bible study time or maybe when we're around other Christians, but at all times, in all places and circumstances, right? So we have that reminder there to follow Jesus and obey Jesus and His will. And then we notice that Jesus is described as the head of the body. It describes Him this way: who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together. Church, He is the head of the body. He is in charge. He is the ultimate leader, the ultimate authority. It is His church. Authentic Life is His church. And so we follow Him as Lord and authority in our lives, but also united together as the church. We follow Him. And that leads us into our last note. I just love that extra bit that he put in right there. But leads us into our last note this morning. When it comes to spiritual maturity, knowing Jesus is the head of the body, all of verse 16 says this: from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, don't miss this part, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When we think about the body and the family of God, and even when we think about the local church at Authentic Life Church, spiritual maturity is contribution. It is contribution. You are part of this body. And if you are saved, Jesus brought you into the family of God. And if you're at Authentic Life, He made you part of this body. You are important. We need you and each other. And each one of us is to contribute. Why? Each one of us, each and every one of us is to contribute so that we can all pursue Christ together, so that we can all grow together, and so that we can all pursue His mission together. You know, our vision statement is connecting people to Jesus, growing together, and living our lives authentically for Him. Jesus leads and directs us as His body. He brings us all together into His body. He's the one that unites us, and then He gifts each and every one of us to serve Him and to serve the church. And He calls us to grow and mature, and He makes it clear, the Bible's clear, that we need each other to do that. We need each other. Hebrews 10:24 says this. It says this: and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. We need each other to help us love like Christ has called us to love, to help us do the ministry and the works that God has called us to do. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. Church, let me encourage you on this one. Don't neglect. The Bible can't get any more clear. Do not neglect the importance of gathering together, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching, until Christ comes back, man, we are not to neglect. We are to be, make it a priority to be with one another, encouraging one another, serving, loving, being patient, pursuing His mission together. For us to mature, to grow in our walk with Christ, the Lord brings us into His family. And it's His plan that we join together and we work together and we encourage and love one another. And to pursue that growth, we must pursue the togetherness. It's just part of it. To pursue growth, we must pursue togetherness. But here, it's also a sign of maturity. When we make being together a priority and we use our gifts so that others can, so we can serve others and so that others grow within the body, right? That is a sign of spiritual maturity. Together, let us pursue Christ-likeness. Our aim, our goal is to be like Jesus. Let us have doctrinal stability. Let us be in the Word of God. Let us grow in knowledge. Let us pursue Him and know Him and love Him. Let us be able to stand firm in the Word of God and know what He's teaching us. Let us speak and receive truth and love to one another. Don't do it without the love. Truth and love go together. And let us do it together. Let us contribute. As we think about the last 3 weeks, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is telling us, church, family, because of who you are in Christ, because of who we are in Christ, I urge you, I plead with you, we need each other, we need you to walk worthy, and we walk worthy together. Church, I just want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you. I want to speak truth and love as well. If there is something that is keeping you from walking together with the body, man, take that to God. Maybe confess it to God. Maybe there's some repentance that is needed. Maybe there's reconciliation that is needed. But ask the Lord to help you in that. But the Bible, Paul really focuses on the church. We're going to continue to talk about how we walk worthy as individuals, as families, as married people within our workplace. But he begins by talking about the church. We are to walk worthy together. Church, let me tell you, fight for unity. Be on mission for Jesus and grow in our walk together. That's God's plan. For us to be a healthy church and individuals that walks worthy together. That's His plan. Let's pray together. Whatever God's speaking to you in your life, man, just have that time with Him and that moment with Him as I pray corporately for us. But let's pray together. Father, we love You. God, You brought us together. You saved us. You brought us into a relationship with You. And You brought us into the family of God, which is Your church. And You've placed us in the local body. God, You use Paul here to plead with us, to urge us to walk worthy together, to value the family of God, to value the local church. God, You remind us that we need to be humble and have humility with each other, that we need to be patient and gentle. God, that we need to be stretched in love for one another, and God, that we need to remain united. God, when you save us and bring us into the body, You also give us gifts that help us pursue You and pursue the mission that You've called us to follow and to be a part of. Thank You that we get to be a part of that. But God, as your church, even at Authentic Life, God, help us use the gifts within the body that You've given us. And God, as we look at today, help us not remain as children. Help us continue to grow and mature in our walk with You. Help us see You as the standard, as the target that we're wanting to live our life. Help us pursue You. Our goal is to live like Jesus. It's going to be a lifelong journey, and God, we're grateful that You help us with that. Thank You for being the perfect example. God, You want us to grow so that we can stand firm in the Word of God, to know the truth for our own lives, but also to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. So help us be in the Word of God. Help us be under godly teaching. Help us just pursue godly knowledge, biblical knowledge, so that we can grow in our walk. God, help us be open to speaking truth in love and receiving truth in love. That love part's really important. God, we pray, Lord, that we would do that. And God, we thank You that You've brought us together to be a part of this family. Help us all do what You've called us to do so that we can grow together. God, I pray, Lord, today, if there's someone that does not know Jesus as their Savior, if they're listening today and say, man, I don't know about Jesus. I don't know about pursuing Him. I don't know about growing. Jesus tells us in John 3 that we need to be born again. We need to be saved. And God, so if there's someone today that does not know what it means to be saved from their sins, help them know that there is a God that loves them, that Jesus came to die for them, and He rose again so that they could have a relationship with Him, so they could spend eternity with Jesus and be forgiven of their sins, to be given a new life and a new identity. And help them know that when that happens, they become part of the family of God. And there's brothers and sisters in Christ that will receive them and love them and walk with them. So God, we pray, Lord, today that if there's someone listening today, watching, Father God, that they would turn to Jesus and ask You to save them, that they would believe in You, that You are the Savior, that You are God, and that You died and rose again. And they would ask You to be Lord of their life, God, and they would confess You as Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. God, as followers of Jesus, help us be more like You. We pray that a lot, God, that we would walk out of here more like Jesus than when we came in. That's what this passage is talking about. God, thank You for teaching us. And God, we pray, Lord, that those that are listening today, the people that are part of Authentic Life, that we would not walk away and just say, okay, that was good. It was a good reminder and move on. But God, we would be challenged. We would be encouraged. God, we would be attentive to what You're wanting us to learn. That we'd be changed by You. That we would apply Your truth to our lives. Help us see You as the goal of who we want to be like. We ask all this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for taking the time just to hear from God's Word, to worship and song together. If you are a person that wants to know more about Jesus, we would love to talk with you about that in love, right? We'd love to share Jesus with you. If you're a person in our church or someone that just says, hey, I'm not part of a church, right? I need to be a part of the church. We would love to connect with you and tell you about Authentic Life and what God is doing in and through us and what that looks like for you. But for our church family as well, man, let's just be challenged and encouraged by this text this morning to be more like Jesus, to grow in our walk with Him, to grow in our knowledge and just be in the Bible and learning from Him, to love one another, God. And I just want to encourage us that when we get back together, man, this is just going to be a huge priority for us to grow and mature. Guys, I love you. Thankful that I get to be your pastor and that we just get to be the family together at Authentic Life. We'll be sharing more information soon about us gathering in person again. We've had a lot of questions about that. And each week and maybe multiple times throughout the week, we'll be sharing more and more information. We should know more information Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll get that out to you. I love you. God's best to you. Have a great week.